Picture this. It's mid-January. You're sitting in a PLC meeting. The energy of the room feels meh, right? Goals set at the beginning of the year have either been met, forgotten, or feel sort of out of reach or maybe outdated. The data is piling up. The interventions feel stale. And the conversations keep circling back to the same issues. It's a lot of work. Does this sound familiar? Well, it doesn't have to be that way. Today, we're hitting the reset button. It's halftime in the school year, and a PLC, a professional learning community, has the potential to turn things around. Whether you're an administrator leading the charge, or a teacher looking for fresh ideas, we're exploring real-world examples on today's show, actionable strategies to help your PLC move forward. So it goes from good to great. Stick around. This is the Traveling Principal Show. Okay, you guys, welcome back to the Traveling Principal Show. I am your host, Joe Clossy, and today we're taking one of my favorite topics, PLCs, professional learning communities, and we are also matching it with the fact that we're in the middle of the school year, and so it does present this opportunity for schools to restart. It's like halftime at a basketball game. You know, you're looking at what's working, you're making adjustments, then you come out stronger. One school that really gets this is Washington Elementary in Lindsay Unified School District in California. They're using personalized learning plans to regularly review student progress, which I feel like is phenomenal, right? And at the midpoint of a school year, teachers gather to analyze data. We're collaborating on strategies. We're adjusting our teaching plans. But this intentional reflection empowers educators to really address the gaps and set students up for success in the second half of the school year, because it's targeted, it's focused, and it's utilizing this collaborative effort. So you have so many perspectives and minds of the expert educators working together at the same time, which just makes everything so much more powerful. So let's make it a mid-year time to revitalize your PLCs. And now that we are saying this, let's break it down. Let's take a look at a couple of examples. We're going to break this into a few different segments, and we'll go from there. I'm going to try to figure out how we can reinvent your PLC and building it better for the second half of the school year. So first, if we're talking about building a better PLC for the mid-year, we got to focus on three major things. It's going to be data-driven decision-making, right? Number one. It's going to be aligning common assessments, number two, and then setting these actionable goals in place that are going to be organic and flowing throughout the course of the school year. And so let's break down each one of these three parts, and we'll start with data-driven decision-making, because PLC should definitely dig right into this in the first semester to identify, or second semester to identify some trends and gaps. What kind of data should you use? I would use what you're giving in class. I would use the teacher feedback. You could hear from parents if you want to make it holistic. But at some point in time, we're going to have to figure out how to create these common assessments. And in this way, what we're doing is allowing everybody to see where we're at. And I'm going to talk about a trick to the trade with common assessments that I'm working on here. however, schools like Sarah Pyle Academy in Wilmington, Delaware, they're masters at this. They're using blended learning tools to analyze digital performance metrics, helping their PLCs prioritize interventions for students struggling while refining instruction for everyone. And they're doing this via AI. So think this through, okay? It's not an impossible task. It sounds monumental, but it is in no way, shape, or form impossible, and it can actually be made pretty streamlined pretty easily. So we have this data, right? And now we're talking about our second big thing, which is aligning this with common assessments. So consistency across classrooms is key. I'm always talking about universal competencies, right? Dr. Mike Vollmert is a huge fan of universal competencies, which really are these executive functions of how to learn anything. So students become expert learners, and then therefore, and perfect example, High Tech High in San Diego, focusing on those PLC-aligned project-based assessments. Those project-based assessments, the content is secondary. And so without going off on a digression and a tangent on utilizing these project-based assessments as a focus, and then therefore we can break down these skills easier because they would be necessary to do any of those projects, right? I just feel like they're doing it right. Let me say this. Here's an interesting take on aligning common assessments. Middle of the school year, if you have the data of the student, it might be overwhelming for a staff. And I've been kind of mulling over on this thesis. It might be overwhelming for a staff to say, wow, we got to take all these kids and figure out, you know, maybe our data was terrible from last year. We got to figure out what to do with all of these kids, meet all of these learning levels. At the same time, this sounds laborious. Let's keep it PC, right? And I agree with that. It is. It does. No two ways about it. It's not like I'm not trying to make it seem like it's something it's not or exaggerate the point. What I am trying to say is, what if you didn't think about it that way at all? Because the root of that thought is student-centered. I'm not saying not to be student-centered, but here, what if you were more like this project-based assessment, you were standard-based centered, skill-centered? And then what you did was you categorized your common assessment via skill or standard, right? We'd like to think they're similar. And then you give these assessments out, and instead of taking a look at how individual students did, you took a look at how all of the students did via those standards categorically. And so if you were to see that maybe the students struggle with a specific one, which is citing relevant sources or determining validity in sources, right? So determining validity or determining whether or not this is one that can support what you're trying to say and then citing it properly, huge skills, right? And students need to do both really well in order to, or at least master the basics of, in order to pass your state assessments, regardless of what state you're in. How about in order to pass your class, regardless of what class it is? When you think about it through that lens, now you're like, wait a minute, I'm going to be able to work cross-curricular with this focus. But that's moving down the road quite a bit. If you were to instead of focusing on how each kid is doing and determining the weak points per kid, if you took a look at those skills and focused on those skills, you'd almost be creating a much larger approach, but an easier approach, I feel, because it's not super granular, yet it still sort of is. We're still talking about the fundamentals. And so when we're aligning our common assessments, that's something that I'm challenging schools to think about. It's a different one. You know, you might have to kind of mull that over and marinate on that for a little bit. But the third one there, right, because our first is determining the data-driven decision-making. The second is aligning, therefore, our common assessments based on the data. And it's easiest, I feel like, if you're using skills and standards instead of looking at it through the individual lens of a student in every single one. And the third is setting your goals. So SMART goals. Specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, time, like bound, right? Specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, time-oriented, time-bound. This means boosting comprehension of key concepts or increasing student engagement by setting clear short-term goals. And PLCs can track progress and adjust as needed. SMART goals really sound like a tedious step, but it solidifies progress. It really does. If we're talking about trying to track, here you are. No better way. So I want to talk a little bit about how to make your PLC a little more collaborative and productive. You could create a shared purpose. So mid-year is a perfect time to revisit your PLC's mission, You know, ask yourself, are we focusing on student learning? Are we going through the motions here? What's happening? You know, because a lot of schools feel like this is tedious and time consuming. And at the same time, the results on a state level or school-wide on a state level just are not positive. And so there is a misconception there, a discrepancy, if you will. So this is a great time to sit with your staff right straight out of the gate and say, what is it that we're trying to do here? And you know, maybe you could start with your SMART goals and then work backwards and then tweak them as you go. Another good idea is streamlining the structure, right? Keep your meetings simple and repeatable. The Forever Agenda, which I've talked about a lot, the Aubrey Patterson from Warm Demanders, it's a great agenda, which might include reviewing the data, sharing best practices, and identifying these next steps. But all of them will be able to remain consistent and transparent to the group because they're all in the same place on this agenda that is a rolling agenda. It's a brilliant idea. I also would like to shift the focus, since we're talking about going from students to skills. Let's shift the focus to solutions. If we shift our conversation from problems to actionable strategies and steps that we can take to accomplish these solutions to the problems, I feel like we're already off to a better start. It was a long fall. You know, I think schools kind of were feeling it super early. I know there's this turnover in staffing that's happening on this global scale. But if you want to take a look at some schools that are doing this well, I'm definitely feeling like Ace Charter High School in Camarillo, California, always has been faced with adversity and always faced with challenge and just highlights positives and continues to put their heads down and fight the good fight and figure out how to sustain and grow and progress and do what's right by kids. And so they just consistently focus on actionable strategies to address problems and take them as they come. So another thing that you guys can maybe do, or are there any digital platforms that might supercharge your PLC, such as like a Google Workplace or Microsoft Teams or Slack? I know some schools are using Slack. I had mentioned earlier that Sarah Pyle Academy was using AI tools, and these are game changers for these guys because it'll summarize the data, it'll draft agendas, it'll even suggest intervention strategies. And I would implore you, why not? Why not allow AI to handle some of this busy work? Why not? You know? When we're talking about these digital platforms, such as like a Google Workspace or Microsoft Teams, et cetera, these are amazing and can really allow communication to be ongoing. And oftentimes in schools, we struggle with common planning time. We struggle with where are we going to get any time to do anything, eat, right? And so something to think about there. Another tip I'll throw at you here for your PLCs, if you're trying to figure out how to go from meh to like, all right, you know, I can see the light here, how about some accountability? Peer observation, reviewing student work, tracking progress on goals, keeping everyone aligned and moving forward. This starts with your supervisor, the person who's leading your PLC, maybe a principal or your assistant principal or whomever. Just something to think about there, because without you know, any sort of like constant supervision or any sort of check-in, I've seen some situations where PLCs do the exact opposite. And then you have some common challenges. And let's talk about these common challenges really quickly, because they are toxic and they're also very real. And so this is what you could look out for if we're trying to change some of the issues that were, you know, number one, a major one, lack of buy-in. Sometimes educators feel like PLCs are just another meeting. But the Nueva School, which I think is just a brilliant school in Hillsborough, California, they combat this by personalizing the PLC goals, making them relevant and meaningful to each other. And so each teacher says what their PLC goal is, and then everybody tries to work to help each teacher meet these goals, and indirectly they're meeting their own. But so if you have a lack of buy-in there, that's a major issue to look for. Time constraints, we're all busy. So maybe if you assigned roles like a timekeeper and somebody who kept the notes, or, you know, somebody who was like the coordinator, you know, that's a big way to combat time constraints, which we are all under. Another big issue with PLCs is conflict or disagreement. A lot of times teachers carry this book bag with them everywhere they go that is filled with personal beliefs. Regardless to where you work, they wear these backpacks and they're open. You know, when you see somebody with an open backpack and you just want to zip it for them, here we are. Structured protocols, though, can help here. Focusing on shared outcomes, it keeps discussions productive, respectful, focused, and therefore driven. When you go in with nothing, expect that chaos, just like in a classroom. And so there's that commonality. So let's wrap this up with some success stories. Washington Elementary is a prime example of how personalized learning and reflection of this like driven growth. Sarah Pyle Academy shows how data-driven interventions can transform outcomes. And closer to home, Coalinga Middle School has an interdisciplinary goal within their PLC to improve writing across all subjects because they've noticed that this is an area that they can focus on. And these schools are proving that with this right approach, PLCs can achieve some incredible results. You just have to stick to it, stay at it, invest in it. And so, you know, I want to ask, I'm going to end with this. How is your PLC doing? Do you even have one? Are meetings focused and productive at your site? Are you setting and achieving meaningful goals? Because this week, the traveling principal, Joe Clausey, is challenging you to try a new strategy. Whether it's using a digital tool, setting measurable goals, or incorporating structured protocols. And hey, if you get a success story or you have a burning question, I'd love to hear from you. joe@travelprincipal.com. Let's keep the conversation going. Thanks for joining me on the Traveling Principal Show. Until next time, let's keep driving some trains, you guys.